Peace, love, and light to everyone. This is AD, and before we get into today's episode today, I would like to say that this is fair use, copyright disclaimer under 107 of the Copyright Act 1976. Allowance is made for fair use for purposes such as criticism, comment, news reporting, teaching, scholarship, education, and research. Fair use is a use permitted by copyright statute that might otherwise be infringing.
For a diamond to be produced, it must first go through extreme heat, extreme pressure. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? For a diamond to be produced, it has to go through extreme pressure. If you can't take pressure, then you're not a diamond.
I push through the struggle and level up out of my pain. Cause I got a fire inside me that cannot be tamed. Jump in the vortex of fortune, I don't need a fame. Put that on source, need a legacy off of my name. Talking about pressure.
Yeah, lately been feeling it.
Pressure.
I cannot crack under
pressure.
Diamonds get made out of
pressure.
Diamonds get made out of.
Diamonds get made out of.
Yeah.
Shine. 10,000 hours of grind, even before I was conscious, I was aligned with the highest. I did my work in the dark, them demons would have had you frightened. Knowing how I built the ark, to master the wave like Poseidon. I run with the biggest of steppers, when it comes to that bag we got leverage. In the spiritual we be protected, in the physical teach you a lesson. See that balance to bring you the blessings, intuition be like my intentions. Let it shift through the fake and pretenders, treat the real ones with stones on the stones. Now I want them diamonds on Voss, for everyday shopping at Ross. Autopilot on the whip, riding with the top down like a boss. So many times I could've quit, but I kept it pushing, digging in the dirt. Time to harness all this power till the world is out, shooting for the stars, yeah. I push through the struggle and level up out of my pain. Cause I got a fire inside me that cannot be tamed. Jump in the vortex of fortune, I don't need a fame. Put that on source, need a legacy off of my name. Talking about pressure.
Yeah, lately been feeling it.
Pressure.
I cannot crack under
pressure.
Diamonds get made out of
pressure.
Diamonds get made out of.
Diamonds get made out of.
Yeah, if you can't take pressure, then you're not a diamond.
Champagne sipping wine, the tables down my spine.
only word. El mundo será dinero. Money word. Se arregla con dinero. Money word. Si me quiero educar, dormir en algún lugar, un lugar para trabajar, y si no hay para emigrar. Tampoco vengo a pedir perdón porque mis sentimientos se volvieron la canción. Yeah. No me vale mucho como tú me ves. Sabes, tú me llegas solo a los pies. Para mí será un debo de interés. Un buen humano para mí es un deber. El dinero ya lo veré. No vendo mi alma, lo lograré. Seré el más grande, no olvidaré. De donde vengo ni cómo voy.
Showtime, everybody. Welcome to the Adrian X Maya Enlightenment channel, and also welcome to my podcast as well. We're streaming live currently. My anchor is going to be welcome to the Adrian X Maya podcast broadcast. Excuse me, there was a little bit of a delay there. We have our guest today, Mr. Andy Sorensen, who is the founder of Gather Social, along with his son, Elijah Sorensen. Is that correct?
That's correct, Sorensen. That's correct, yeah. That's
all
a Scandinavian name. Yeah.
All right, that sounds great. So before we get into it, I want to make sure that I introduce this man properly, because he does deserve a proper introduction here. So what I have
too
here...
Kind.
So what I have here to give his proper introduction and to give him his kudos is basically he has a BA in communications theory, correct?
That's correct.
All right, and
long time ago, but correct.
Right, and he is also a content creator as well as an entrepreneur. Over 30 years plus. In addition to that, he is a true Renaissance man. He works with his hands. He forges steel, wood, and he does painting.
And his son is the co-founder of this, Elijah Sorensen, and I'm honored today to be a part of this as well because I'm a brand ambassador in the Las Vegas region, and it is an honor again to have Mr. Andy on this broadcast. So if I missed anything, Andy, go ahead and give people more information about yourself if you would like before we get really into it.
Well, thanks so much. It's an honor to be on your podcast, Adrian. This is my actual first podcast. So, you know, getting used to the format. I watch a lot of podcasts. Never been on the other side of the screen, so to speak. So this is really cool. No, you covered it pretty well. I've never, been the kind of person lucky enough to have a career job. so I've always had to make work for myself. And, it's been a lot of years, a small business, various projects. I was lucky enough to be semi-retired for a number of years, probably a decade ago, and participate in doing some art and sculpture and exercise and creativity that way. Always looking for avenues to connect with people and work around the world of ideas. I think in the last number of years, we've tried a few tech startups. A couple of them failed. And this particular project started for us about 4 years ago. And it's been pretty exciting. We took a previous project and we mothballed, and we said, well, we can save about half of the computer code base and repurpose it to basically an old idea. And it came forth, and my son, I had to convince him a little. He didn't want to be discussing dating with his dad at the time when I brought up this idea, because it centers around single people and dating. And I said, well, hey, there's this place we can, maybe use the code base we've been developing and kind of pivot. So that's kind of the very early genesis of this thing.
Oh, that sounds like a lot. I definitely appreciate you giving that breakdown. So that pretty much excuses the first question about how the idea of Gather Social came about and who is the founder of Gather Social. So we already pretty much got that out the way, unless you want to add more to it.
Well, I can give you a little color on it.
Okay.
So I had been married twice, and the first marriage ended in around year 2001, and I was single for about a year. And at that time, I went out. There was various people offering services, a little bit like a low-end priced matchmaking, where you'd go out for a dinner. It was still a couple of $100. You go, this woman would invite a bunch of people, go to a restaurant. And the couple $100 did include the meal, probably about a $30 meal. But, and it was kind of fun. But it was, it was a whole evening. And, I met a few people. I didn't connect with anyone. But that was kind of fun. But for $200, it was quite a high burden. And ever since then, I had been thinking about, that's an interesting business model for single people. Now, of course, I was married then for another 16 years. And that ended around 2016. And so that landed me right in the world of online dating, which is something I didn't, know about. Back in 2000, online dating, there's maybe just a little bit of a hint of it starting, but it wasn't really a big thing. But 2016, I landed in the world of like Tinder, Plenty of Fish, Bumble, et cetera, et cetera. And, like everyone else, had to learn all the kind of nuance of it and the language of it and the ins and outs of it. And what kind of a crazy world it is. I mean, it serves a lot of people really well. But I learned over the course of a couple of years that it didn't serve everyone very well. And there were a lot of craziness. Coming back to where we started with this question, that's where I started thinking again about the experience I had, 16 years previous, meeting these people around a table in real life. And I thought, well, technology has changed a lot since then. Now it's smartphones, online payment systems, geolocation, mapping, just Google Maps, all of that kind of stuff. There's just
right.
I could go on for an hour talking about the things that have changed. Everybody pretty much knows that, but we thought, well, okay, there's got to be a way to tie these things together. You know, we don't have to be doing it the way we used to do it. Let's try something new. So that's the more full answer to your question. I
hope. Yeah, I got you. It sounds like how you really got into it was based off of your experiences that kind of molded you into and put you in the forefront or in the center, and which sparked that eureka, the light bulb over your head, like you see in the cartoons and all that stuff about how you you know what I'm talking about. So it just put that into fruition for you, in other words, how that came about. So go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you know, it's partly me, but it was partly the discovery from mainly speaking to women about their experiences. Mm. You know, I did quite a bit of dating over the course of about 4 or 5 years, on and off single, you know, a few relationships of 2, 3, 4 months long, and then, you know, a few months of single and just occasionally going out to these sort of coffee dates or whatever you want to say from, you know, Tinder. And, you know, you go and meet somebody at a Starbucks for awkward, you know, half an hour or whatever, chatting. Yeah. You know, and try to extract yourself from the situation again, and still be polite about it, et cetera. So there was quite a bit of that. And yeah, that's, you know, the real world experience. You're right. That's where this kind of hit home. And listening to the, let's call it mixed results, you know, that other people had, not just myself, but mm-hmm. listening to their stories, some of them really way out there and crazy, but a lot of them just awkward and, you know, a lot of wasted time, et cetera, et cetera. You can, anybody who's single will relate. Anybody who's been single for a while and been on and off apps, I'm pretty sure can relate.
Exactly. Yeah. Everybody has their own personal experiences when it comes to dating. I personally haven't ever been married. I do not have any kids. I wish to have kids and to be married by a virtuous woman. I think in my generation, in my humble opinion, it's very, very, very hard for dating, whether it be on the men's side or the woman's side, because it's a lot of propaganda that's being portrayed for people when it comes to the dating world. A lot of people consider relationship scams, dating to be a scam, and marriages to be a scam. And I know this is a monkey wrench question, but I'm going to ask you anyway, since we're talking about it, because I've had my fair share experiences, some good experiences as well as some bad experiences when it comes to dating and being in a relationship, just to be transparent. What I was going to ask you, do you think it's harder now to date, or do you think it's a little easier, or you think it's neutral, or you what do you feel in your viewpoint about dating and relationships and marriages right now?
Well, honestly, I can be fairly outgoing. I think it's about neutral. There are a lot of trade-offs. Mm-hmm. I prefer meeting people in real life. You know, and I think a lot of people do. I think there are a lot of cues that we get from one another when we meet somebody in real life that, you know, lead us to understand whether this is somebody we can relate to. And we assess that very quickly. In fact, we're not even really conscious of it, you know, and I think that's how we evolve. That's, you know, just almost, you might want to call it an animal instinct. You might want to call it chemistry. You might want, you know, you can attribute it to very scientific reasons, or you can attribute it to all sorts of, like, I don't know, more woo-woo reasons, whatever it is, wherever you come from. But the fact is that it's difficult to use your logical brain on a chat format, on text, and try to determine, you know, maybe you're initially attracted by a picture or a description or both. But the thing is, you're straight into your logical brain. You know, you're having to compose answers or questions. And this leads you down a certain pathway, I think, in your brain, even right at a neurological level, where you're analyzing things. And that communication, as everyone knows, can go sideways. you know, even in the best of intentions, even forgetting about the scammers, because there are lots of scammers, even forgetting about the liars, the people who are, maybe they're in a bad marriage and they're just on Tinder because, you know, it's like they're cheating on their spouse, or but mainly from the point of view of boredom, like they're mainly just there to have conversation. Yeah.
Or what they would call a rebound. Looking for a rebound. Yeah.
Just like they're stuck in their head in a weird spot, you know, and they don't know what to do and they get sucked into that world. And then they waste everyone else's time who is legitimately single because, you know, they're pretending to be single. But let's put all of that aside. Like, let's just look at the best of intentions. You've done the best job you can to describe yourself. Mm-hmm. They've done the best job they can to describe themselves, and their pictures are actually like within a year or two old. They're not from 10 years ago. Let's call that the best scenario you can have. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the next thing is you're having this conversation and you're doing it through your logical brain, mm-hmm. and you're forming an image of this person in your mind, you know, that relates more to the more instinctual part of your mind. Mm-hmm. And then after X amount of time, whether that's 2 hours for some people or whether that's 2 months for other people of, you know, communicating and on and on and on, and you meet up for that walk or you meet up for that glass of wine or that coffee or whatever it may be, mm-hmm. you kind of know right away. You know, most of the time, you know right away, especially if it's not just a hookup because it's, you know, you're interested in this person. You might be interested in them. They might be a great friend, potentially, if you didn't already have enough friends. But they may not be the person you had in your head because you were using your logical mind for the last 2 weeks, let's say, for example, communicating, texting, maybe phone calls, maybe even video calls. But in real life, in the first couple of minutes, maybe even in the first 30 seconds, you're like, oh, this mm-hmm. is too bad because, you know, we had a great, you know, phone calls and conversation, but I know this is going nowhere. But the problem is now you're stuck in this weird situation because mm-hmm. you do like this person. You know, you respect them. You've had a great conversation. And so you don't want to just get up and walk away and say like, oh, I can see like I'm not interested in you. Like I just don't have feelings for you or whatever. Like that would mm-hmm. be very premature and it'd be kind of rude. So then you're stuck in another awkward, you know, like, well, maybe I'll give this a go. Maybe we'll hang out and we'll be friends for an hour and we'll, you know, have a glass of wine, some appies or whatever, which is all great. It doesn't really solve your problem of being single.
Right, it doesn't. Yeah, because it's like, it's just time wasting. And I just wanted, before we continue on, because you are saying a mouthful, I want to shout a few people out in the chat room that are in the building. So shout out to DS and shout out to the Art of Pisces. They have a lot to say, I see. A lot of them were agreeing with you saying that the Art of Pisces said it's super ego when it comes to like trying to meet people. Sometimes you have to work on both sides of the brain, mentally and physically. You're able to truly assess and all of that good stuff. So yeah, and then DS said, "Where is my beer?" So he's apparently having a beer and enjoying the content. So we appreciate everybody that's out here. I'm having water. So
I got my coffee.
And he has his coffee. So we appreciate y'all for coming through. The next question is how does Gather Social separate itself from the other 1500 apps, including like Bumble, Hinge, Plenty of Fish, etc., etc.? And I'm going to be grabbing my charger for my laptop. I am still listening. And everybody out there, I have not went away. I'll be right back. I'm listening.
Hey, yeah, all good. All good, Adrian. Thank you. Yeah, so Gather, we take the opposite approach. We say it's chemistry first. It's get you in the room together, put you face to face. And after that, there's a possibility of communication. So even though we use an app with photos and you're going to make a profile, and there's a swiping interface. Our swiping interface is, you know, it's more entertainment-based. It's like who's in your area and getting an idea of who likes who for the algorithm. It kind of teaches the algorithm a few things. But ultimately, nobody can communicate. Nobody can send you a message on our app just for being on the app. The messaging all can only start after you have met somebody first face-to-face in a venue. And the venues are like a brew pub, something cash. You know, it's not going to be like a white linen tablecloth, expensive steakhouse. It's also not going to be some grubby little, you know, half-empty kind of coffee shop.
Right.
You know, your typical brew pub, right? So,
right.
So the idea is, yeah, how do we get people together who are not, like, hugely different in age? They're not from, like, really far away. They're all in your community. They're all, you know, most people don't like driving more than 20 minutes to go, you know. Like, after that, it's like, well, why would I go, you know, drive for 40 minutes or something like that? Because even if I meet somebody, I like them, I don't think I really want to be dating, you know, and driving all this time constantly. So,
right.
I think most people, you know, so the idea is keep it local. Meet people that are, you know, within your age frame, and allow the communication after. So all those other 1,500 apps you're talking about, true, they offer some specialties. They might be, some of them might be for, you know, lesbian, gay, you know, specialty, might be for a very local area of your community, might be ethnically divided, religiously divided, but really, they all do the same thing, all 1,500 of them. They get you talking using your logical brain, you know, do you like dogs? You know, do you have, you know, do you smoke? You know, asking all those rational questions. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying, logically, at some point, those are important questions, but what does it matter if I find a woman who, we agree we don't like smoking or something like that, all this kind of stuff, and then we meet in real life and it's like, well, yeah, I'm not attracted to you. Like, it's like, okay, well, why don't we turn it back around the way it's been for thousands of years, where, you know, you get the vibe first. And if the vibe works out, then it's like, okay, well, now it's worth asking the other questions. Oh, how old are your kids? You know, where do you, you know, what kind of work do you do? Like, you know, what are your politics? You know, like, you know, how far apart are we? How close are we? Or can we laugh together?
Right.
Like, get all those questions after.
Right. We don't want
that's how we're different.
We don't want no superficial activity going on. We want authenticity, as we were talking about prior to the interview. You know, we want the real deal, real life engagement. Someone had asked what age group were the app target, and I believe you had already hit the nail on the head with that. Or did you say that? I mean, you brought up age, but you didn't actually throw the numbers out there. What was the number?
Yeah, no. So the way the app works is anybody can sign up for it over, it's a little bit limited depending on the drinking age of the state you're in.
Okay.
It doesn't do you any good if you're like 18, but you can't get into the venue unless you're 21. So,
right.
So that
yeah.
means you're going to be 21 and older. So you could be 21 to 100 years old. Doesn't matter. But the fact is, everything we do is based on aggregate population. So let's say that most people who are 19 to 25, let's say you're still in your university kind of school age, lots of single people in your friend group, we probably don't bring a huge amount of value to people who are, down in that age group, because they've got lots of options. They go to a house party, they go to a club, single people their age are all around them. So like that's, you know, I'm not saying that we don't bring value, like we would probably to some extent, but it's a little different once you are in your late 20s or into your 30s, 40s, 50s, you find yourself single, or you're single, you've been single, but a lot of the people around you are married, they got kids, or, you know, commitments, that sort of thing. So our system allows everyone to be on it. Now, let's say in your area, let's say that we get to the point where we have, I don't know, let's pull a number. Let's say 500 people in Vegas.
Right.
Odds are going to say that, and this is me guessing because I don't have the data, but odds are going to say they're going to cluster in around 30 to 50 years old, let's say. So it's more likely our system is going to form groups within that age demographic, but it's not going to pull people together who are really wide apart in age. So let's say you're a 30-year-old woman and you get invited. You're going to end up in this brew pub or whatever, and probabilistically, the guys are going to be 28 to 35.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that I say that it's a little bit out of sync, is that the data, the psychological data, the historical data tells us that women generally prefer men their same age or older,
mm-hmm.
maybe a year or two younger. And I'm not saying that there are, you know, cases of extreme differences,
except but we don't. There's that. A few exceptions that make the rule, but it doesn't negate the generation, the generalization. Yeah. I mean, yeah,
exactly. And that's why we look at the data at the bell curve. You know, we drive right down the middle of it. You know, our service is probably. You could be gay and be on our service. There's no reason why not, but it's not really going to do you much good because you're mostly going to meet straight people. So it, because of that, it's mostly services straight people, you know, because they're the bulk of the single people. So we mm-hmm. go for the middle of the market where the most people are, the most single people, the most people we can serve. But that's not by decision. That's by math. You
right.
know, the math only works that way.
You're going by the most constructive, who needs the most help by demographics and the math, like you said, you know, that's
well,
makes
it's,
more
it's, sense. It's more, it's not even who needs the most help. It's more just what is logical. Like what we're mapping the technology to the real world. And yeah, you could say that occasionally there's a woman who might be 40 dating a 21-year-old guy. I bet you that's super extreme, unlikely. Mm-hmm. So we don't, that'll never, those people will never get together in one of our gatherings
mm-hmm.
because our age limit will be, you know, plus minus maybe 4 or 5 years. Maybe if you're up in your 50s, that might be plus minus, you know, 8 years or something like that, just because of the way math works. But, and the way people work, because they don't care as much. You know, the difference between a person who's 55 and a person who's 60 is a lot less than a person who's, you know, 20 and another person who's 25. So that's, you know, yeah, we just map it to the real world. What people do in the real world, that's what we try to do. Yeah.
Got you. Yeah, nah, that makes a lot of sense. Thanks for breaking that down. We do have a few questions in the chat room before we actually get back into the questions that I would like to ask you, if that is okay. Because I did let people know that they can comment and ask questions, and we will fully engage with the audience because we want to make sure that they are heard as well. They are the voices of America too. And having said that, the one guy says, now this is going to be a funny one. He says, hey, Adrian, so can gatherings end up being sausage fest, pink parties, or will the ratio be kept even? And I think you...
Yeah, great question. Great question. no, it can't happen that way.
I got you.
We allow plus minus one. So,
okay.
In other words, our maximum group size is 12 people, and our
right.
minimum is 8.
Right.
So it'll either be 4-4, 4-5, 4-5, you know, at our maximum size at 12. Yeah, that would have to be 6-6. 11, it could be 5-6. Yeah, mm-hmm. no, it could end up theoretically out of balance if somebody buys a ticket and doesn't show up. So
mm-hmm.
if you had 5-6 and then one of the fives, whether that was males or females, didn't show up,
mm-hmm.
just kind of like bought their ticket and said, oh, screw it, I'm not going, or, you know, whatever, couldn't make it, then it could be 4-6. Yeah.
Okay.
No, we don't allow that. Basically, the system won't it won't actually form the group
mm-hmm.
unless it meets these qualifications. So that's why we need a few hundred people for the system to constantly, the computer program is constantly forming what we call perspective groups. So these are like groups in the algorithm that it recognizes, and
mm-hmm.
then it starts inviting people once there are enough oversampling of enough people in that cluster. And then it doesn't form it, though, unless it can get, you know,
that algorithm going.
Yeah.
And that's what I try to keep it grassroots and keep engaged with sincere and real life engagement with friends, because I've definitely shared this information with my friends, my family, and even strangers as well, and letting them know how important putting a real profile on there, keeping the app installed, and making that bio to show that there are real people on there and there are no bots. Because sometimes with these other dating apps, there are a lot of bots, and I've been on Plenty of Fish and a few other ones, Tinder and all that, and some of those are bots. Let's keep it real. Let's keep it true. You know.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah. Well, this is an interesting thing. Like we designed the whole thing around what we call alignment of incentives.
Yeah.
There's no incentive for someone to be on our system that isn't real, first of all. So, I mean, theoretically, if you were a prostitute selling your services, you might try to get a picture up and put like a email address or a phone number in the picture, sneak it in. But we're going to have a system where other users will just report that. That'll get pulled down right away. So it won't be worth the effort.
That's excellent. All right, we got two more questions in the chat room before we steer back to my the questions that I have, because I want to make sure that the audience get all their questions answered. The first question is about is from the Art of Pisces. She asks, "What about emerging adult groups?" If that
emerging
makes
adult groups.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't quite understand that question.
Maybe it was something that you were talking about before, and she wanted to know about the emerging something about the emerging adult group. We can come back to that. Maybe.
Yeah, because maybe we can get a clarification on that.
Yeah, she probably will. She'll probably clarify it in a chat. But there is another question that she asked, though. It says, before launching, what was the results of your research study?
Yeah, so we did a lot of just sitting down with people who have been doing online dating. And again, I think the reason I didn't spend a lot of time with men is, again, I looked at it from the what's the real world situation. And I mean, anybody's been out to nightclubs, regardless of whether it's legal or not, you know that they can have a cover charge for $40 or $30 and pretty women will be allowed in free. Why is that? Well, that's because the men are going to follow around where the pretty women are, right? So then we said, well, okay, why would we bother talking to men? If we can create a service that works for the women from a point of view of safety, from a point of view of not being harassed, from the point of view of, you know, like meeting real people who are actually willing to, put some clothes on and go, you know, put their good shoes on and go out and put that effort in to go and, you know, buy some appetizers and sit around and hang out with some people and chat and be real. So we thought, well, if we can make that attractive to women, we don't really need to do a lot of marketing to the men to get them to sign up. They'll theoretically pro rata sign up over time. So coming back to your question about the research, I spent mostly small groups with women talking about, you know, what's the barrier and what's, you know, what works for you? What do you hate about the current system? And depending on their age, whether they had dated back when you would just go out to a pub or, you know, your friend's house party or, you know, a community dance or whatever. And that's where you would meet people and flirt with them. Mm-hmm. So that's where, you know, we learned different things from people who were older, predominantly women who are older and women who are younger. Mm-hmm. One thing I found surprising in the last few months is in speaking with younger women, I expected, much like I said earlier on, that younger people have a lot more access to a lot of selection of single people. So I thought it would be less interesting to them, but that turned out, I mean, I don't know later on what the signups will reveal, but I was surprised that a lot of women in their mid-20s were actually very much in favor of this concept. And what I learned was that because of COVID and because of work from home, a lot of women, people haven't had the experience, almost like the practice of communicating with people in real life. And apparently the things they were expressing to me is that a lot of men don't know how to talk to them in real life. They don't know how to sort of approach and flirt with them as much in real life as I would have expected they would. And so they were kind of interested in it as well. And we have no idea. I mean, the data later on, you know, should we be lucky enough to stand this whole system up and get, you know, the few hundred minimum users we need in every city, then we'll be able to analyze it and say, here's the user base. Like here's, you know, there's on average, their age is such and such. And we might find that would be different in different cities, different demographics, but hopefully we're lucky enough to be able to study that kind of data down the road Yeah. Okay. I think I might have wandered off the question. I've actually lost the thread now.
Nah, it's all good. Everything is connected like we talked about. So even if you feel like you just were connecting the dots, they were going this way, like in preschool, connecting them, those dots. I feel
you're
it.
So right.
Yeah. So having said that, we want to give another person a shout out. Shout out to Fantasia for engaging in with the chat. She said that it's good to know that it will have a filtering aspect to the app, because you definitely want to make the women feel safe, because sometimes, you know, creeps can be coming all different shapes and sizes. It can be on the woman's side too, but we know more men predators are out there, things of that sort. So we want to make sure that everybody feels safe. And it's good to me. I thought it was attractive that when I found out about the app, that you're not even giving folks your number. It's just about the attraction and then being able to have a host there to break the ice for you guys and all that great stuff, so it won't come off as being creepy and or people coming off as being shy and things of that sort. So it's always good to have like a mediator of some sort or somebody there to actually make it feel like a welcoming and warm environment. Again, we don't want to practice no type of Machiavellian politics. We want to come in with pure intentions.
That's very right, Adrian. Yeah. Like, so that's a key part of the system. Mm-hmm. And so essentially you get invited to these gatherings, but you know, you're invited about 2 days ahead of time. So mm-hmm. let's say it's a Tuesday and you've elected on the app that you're willing to go out on Thursdays, maybe other days as well. But a lot of other people have also selected Thursdays, let's say. Mm-hmm. And if the system, if it finds out there's enough overlap of people of the similar age and also wanting, or let's say not wanting, but willing to go out on a Thursday amongst other nights, mm-hmm. then it finds that cluster and invites those people. But the invitations go out on the Tuesday, mm-hmm. you know, a couple days before. And, you know, you can pass on an invitation. There's no membership fee. There's nothing. You're free to be on the app. Mm-hmm. There's no contracts. You can get as many invitations. If you pass on an invitation on a Thursday, the system doesn't care. It has no emotion. It'll just invite you again, unless you change your settings. It'll just invite you again, maybe in a few days later. But if you accept that you're going to go, and enough other people accept that they're going to go, now we got a group, and then it'll send you a notification. Yeah, you've been invited. Your ticket was put. It wasn't charged. It was just put a hold on your credit card. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, so let's use the example of a Tuesday. Wednesday, you're going to get a new notification, and it's going to say your event is at a specific time and a specific place. Because mm-hmm. when you set your settings on the app, you allowed yourself to be invited to a general area of the city. Mm-hmm. We call it a zone. Okay. So in the beginning, every city has just one zone, like the central zone. You know, that may have an actual name in most cities, but we're calling it for now the central zone. Mm-hmm. You accepted the idea that you're willing to go to the central zone, maybe between 6:30 in the evening and 7:30 in the evening. Mm-hmm. But on this Wednesday, you're now being told it's at a specific time in a specific place. So it's 7:15 at Mary Jane's, you know, bar and grill, whatever it is, you know, mm-hmm. That's where you're going to meet on Thursday. So you've got a day to look up that restaurant and see what the vibe is. You know, can I wear just jeans and running shoes? What's the parking like? You know, if you're not familiar with that part of the city, for instance. But coming around to the question of safety. Mm-hmm. So now you're showing up in a public restaurant. You know, place, like you're not showing up in some sketchy kind of like coffee shop at the mm-hmm. edge of town. And you're showing up with a group of people who have all used their credit card. They're all members on the system mm-hmm. and they paid for a ticket. And a host is going to be there. So on that same intermediate day, that Wednesday, mm-hmm. hosts on our system, they're almost like an Uber driver. They've been pre-approved like an UberX driver, you know. Mm-hmm. So this would be somebody who's good with the public, is used to hosting things, and they were given a ping. Hey, you've got a group of 10 people showing up at, you know, Mary Jane's restaurant on at 7:15 on Thursday, you know, again a day later. So that host now knows, oh, okay, I can plan around that. Like, they've elected themselves in as well, according to their own schedule, what nights they want to be available. So now when you get to the restaurant, and again, particularly salient for women, there's a host there, and everybody is invited to a reserved table. It's a regular restaurant. We don't book out the restaurant. We just make a reservation there. We make an arrangement. They know that we are doing this. So, you know, they know us as Gather. The reason that they need to know us is we make a pre-arrangement with them that everybody gets, for instance, a separate check instead of a table bill. And that when we make a reservation for like 7:15, or let's say they make actually the reservation, they confirm the reservation. And when we get there, we don't get any of this nonsense like, oh, your table will be ready in 20 minutes or whatever. It's like, no, if you want our business, if you want these nice Gather folks to show up and patronize your business on a Thursday night when you're maybe a little bit slow anyway, you have to agree. If we make that reservation for 7:15, that table is ready at 7:15. People are invited in, they sit down, they order their appies individually. And the host is there to kind of, you know, just kind of hang out and have laughs with people. If they're all getting along right away, if they're all chatting, don't interfere with them. Just let them chat with them. Mm-hmm. If they're all kind of staring at their feet, at their phones or whatever, and it's like, okay, now have some games. Have, you know, ask them to write answer to some little questions, you know, kind of get them going for the first 5-10 minutes. And then, you know, people start gelling. Well, that's great. You know, then just maybe after 20 minutes, get the men all to stand up, move a couple seats over, give everyone a little bit of a chance to mingle. But still, nobody has your phone number. You're still in this restaurant. No, you can obviously give your phone number away, but nobody has your phone number. And then when you leave after, now you can open up a communication channel. So it doesn't have to be about dating. We're just all single people hanging out. Just having some laughs. There's no dating pressure. Nobody's matched with anybody. You know, it's not like you're going there to meet a certain person. Yep. No, you're just meeting some other people, your same age, your same life situation. You might hate a couple people. Who knows? Maybe you're that kind of person. Maybe you just don't like some people. That's real life. That's the same thing happens if you walk into a friend's house party. Maybe you don't get along with somebody, whatever. You just ignore them. I think that's unlikely. I think people are generally pretty good to each other when they meet face to face. Most people pretty polite, you know. And they learn something about each other. And maybe, hey, Adrian, maybe we're there. We're both single. Hey, there's a show going on next week. You want to check it out? You know, we can open up a communication channel. It doesn't have to be about dating. You know, so you can make a few friends if you're new in town. Maybe you just don't have a lot of single friends. All your friends are married. You know, but then back to the safety issue, particularly for women who I'm not talking about the serious safety stuff, because of course there's that too. Yeah. But I'm even just talking about the hassle, you know, like hey, I gave this guy my phone number and now he keeps phoning me and I'm going to have to block him, all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Well, you don't even get to that yet, because you can just message on our app without giving your phone number. And then you can ask the other questions, because maybe you just made eyes at the thing. Maybe you didn't actually chat. Maybe you just saw this. Maybe you're there, Adrian, you see this woman across the table, you make eyes, you know, but she's busy talking to some other people. The whole, you know, it's only an hour long. That's not a lot of time. You know, we're not sitting there for 3-4 hours. This is only an hour and you're gone. Like, you can stay. It's a restaurant, but, you know, you can stay with a few people. But so you see this woman, you open up a chat channel later, and then you start asking the questions. Hey, so tell me, you know, like, what kind of things are you into? What's your religion? What do you believe or whatever? Well, maybe it all goes great, but maybe it hits a non-starter. Maybe it's like, somebody's politics is just not your politics. And no matter what, you can't groove on that. So you're just like, well, you know, nice to meet you, but, you know, fine. And they don't have your phone number still. So, you just go to another gathering, right? You just wait, you know, just go again next week. You know, you just put a little budget aside. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of dating services, the more bespoke ones, you know, you can spend thousands and thousands of dollars, you know, to go to specialized events. Or you can spend free on Plenty of Fish and Tinder, but what do you value your time at? So even if you value your time at, you know, minimum wage work, for instance, and you add up, well, you spent, you know, tens of hours over the last month, it's still costing you a few hundred dollars or $100 or $200 in amount, just the amount of time you could have not spent having all these ridiculous wasted conversations. So what I'm trying to say is, the way I look at it is, put aside a budget, you know, think to yourself, well, maybe over the next half year, I'm going to go to about eight of these things. That's $200 in tickets, or well, less, because you're probably getting Adrian's, you know, discount, you know, give out, get his code as a master code. And you're going to get free system credit, right?
Yeah.
And we'll probably ping you with some credit along the way as well. Like, you know, so retail price of the ticket's $25, but a lot of times you're not spending $25. You might be, you know, Adrian's giving you his code, and so you're only spending like $15. So, you know, you add up a bunch of those, it's not that much money. You go out anyway once in a while to have, you know, a burger and some, you know, and a beer or whatever. So that's kind of the same. You're going out and you have a few laughs with some people. I mean, if you joined a baseball team, you'd probably go out with them and, you know, have a few laughs and, you know, whatever, right? So, yeah, that's kind of the idea there. But
yeah,
I know we started on the safety thing, and what I'm trying to say is, you're meeting a bunch of people, but you don't necessarily have to give them your personal information. You can check them out face to face.
To make a long, that's the whole point of it. That's why it's called Gather Social, because it's there to gather you up to socialize with the people, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. All
right. Yeah, not putting too much mustard on the hot dog. So having said that, order veggie dog for the vegetarians and the vegans. All right. So having said that, we're going to get to the Art of Pisces question, but I want to get back to our questions. So the next few questions that we have is, what do you expect to happen with Social Gather in the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, you know, there's what I want to have happen, and then there's what we can reasonably expect to have happen.
Right.
There's really huge, you know, variance between those answers. But let's say what I would like to see happen is that we grow out to every city in the United States and Canada. When I say city, I mean urban, suburban metros that are bigger than about 500,000 in size. Smaller than that, it's a little hard to get scale. We would maybe have an alternative product down the road if we were lucky enough to have this main product. So we're targeting every big city. So you'll notice on the app right now, there are 75 cities, ranging in size, probably from like Chicago at 6 or 7 million people on down to like
New
Fayetteville,
York
Arkansas.
City.
Yeah, well, we don't have New York yet. We've purposely
or
left
New Jersey,
New York,
right?
LA.
New Jersey.
Yeah, there's four cities we don't have: in New York, New Jersey, San Francisco, and Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
We're waiting to. Yeah, okay. We're, you know, this is very early days, right?
Okay.
So those are huge metros,
yeah.
And we want to get a little bit of, you know, wind under the wings first, let's say, before we try those places, you know.
I got you, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, in a few years, you know, if it works out good in Canada and the USA, yeah, we'd like to have all the cities, including New York and LA, on, and then we would look at other parts of the world. There's no reason, if the system works in one city, in any city that Tinder or Bumble are in, if our system works here, it'll work in any city. I mean,
right.
You go to Amsterdam, you go to, you know, Sydney, Australia, or wherever it's, you know, Tinder and Bumble are there. We would expect that our system and service would be there. So that's, yeah, I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, that
That's
does.
cool.
That answers it. That puts it in a nutshell. So we do have about like 15 minutes of time. So if you can condense your answers a little bit, make them a little shorter.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I know you got so much on that big old brain of yours. You very long-winded, man, I
I'm
must
a bit
say.
passionate about it, yeah,
Yeah, I
sorry.
know that's right. You
I'll calm
gotta
her
be
down.
passionate about the product, man. It's your baby, man. You got to be. So what I wanna ask you is, what type of impact do you expect to have from Gather Social as the community is as far as the community is concerned? What type of impact do you expect to have?
Yeah, big question. Yeah. So the thing I'm the most proud of is just basically getting people together to talk again. You know, as a wider impact, not just single people. I just think there's value to whether you're in Canada or US, we've got all these ridiculous political divides that are, you know, they go to the point of violence. And, you know, I just think that we have a healthier society the more that we sit down at the table together and share a beer and have some laughs. We don't have to agree on everything. You know, that's fine, you know, but we can learn from each other. And I think the more you learn from other people, the more you kind of like modify or like tone down your anger or your, you know, like hard lines or whatever, because you realize that other people are just, yeah, they're just out there doing their thing too, so.
And I think I don't want to sound like I'm speaking for everybody, but I feel like everybody generally would just want peace and happiness, man. Like, as long as we can bring that to each other in some way, and we can reach some type of commonality, which I feel in the aspect of Gather Social, that's what you're trying to do. Like, even if things don't go your way, you still got an opportunity to dust yourself off and try again, because this is like a consistent thing that you invest in and that you put your time and your effort in to go bring out, go meet other people and to bring out the best version of yourself. You know what I mean?
You're
So
right.
yeah, so I think that's what the
I think
goal
it's
is.
a positive spin-off benefit, and I think that since COVID and since you know, like this whole trend of working from home, depending on you know what kind of person you are, what where you fit in the workforce or whatever, I think there's value in just getting people out, yeah, just having some laughs, having a happy. It's good for the restaurants too. Why not, right?
So that brings me up to the follow-up question that the Art of Pisces has. She says, will your company receive kickback from the restaurants?
No, we not at this point. So we do have an idea where we would monetize restaurants. We would probably trade that off against ticket price. You know, but no, there's no monetizing off the restaurant. We just ask them to agree to our terms, which is that they honor the reservation time. We're going to bring them the business on the slower nights, on the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday mainly. That's good for them, and we hope that what they do, we are not enforcing this, but we hope that if they want repeat business, they just treat our customers, all you people out there, really well, like really respectfully, and maybe they kick in some appies. Who knows? Like, we're not asking them to do it. We're not saying, hey, you got to give these people appies, blah blah, whatever. But you know, a smart business person is going to go like, throw a pizza down on the table to get people started or whatever, right? But no, as far as actual financial capture from the restaurant, down the road, we have the idea that we would look at them and say, okay, well, maybe we put them on a system where they essentially can sign, instead of us calling them, they have a portal where they can sign up. But we're just talking about very small amounts of money back and forth. So it's like, well, maybe we can offer more discounts to our customers, like ping you with a $5 off or et cetera, et cetera. Maybe they then put, you know, a $2 per customer that hits the table or whatever. And, you know, we sort of just trade that off as a business model. But no, we're not, it's not an extortion business. We're not looking at trying to squeeze every dollar out of it. We're trying to build value, provide real value, real honest service, no contracts, no bullshit, like, you know, sneaky shit where they get your credit card to make it hard to cancel. No, there's no membership, no con. You get pinged. You want to buy a ticket, you buy a ticket. You don't want to buy a ticket, you just wait till the next time. Whatever. No hard feelings.
All
It's
right,
just a
Sam.
computer.
No, yeah, that's again going back to what we were talking about before. We ain't you know, having the heart of a lion but being cunning as a fox. No, we ain't doing no Machiavellian politics, people. This is sincere engagement with other people that want to, with like minds, put it like that, you know. So we're not trying to, you know, do nothing of that sort. So having said that, I want to bring it to the next question. What type of impact does social gather have, or gather social rather, excuse me. Gather social have currently. What are you currently seeing, and what are you getting from staff in the community?
Yeah, so we're super early days. You know, we just put the cities on the app. We've got 200 ambassadors like yourself, you know, spread out between 75 cities. We're going to try to onboard some more ambassadors. And the host system, we think that's great work for people who are well, you know, already have the personality, let's say. It's very flexible work to sign up as a host, but we're not there yet. You know, we need a city like Vegas to have a few hundred people so the system can start inviting people. Then we'll need hosts, of course. So yeah. there will be economic impacts. And, you know, like from our side, we're a tech business. So tech business is built on scale. We're just looking to clip what our costs are and a small amount on each transaction. Most of the money goes back to ambassadors, goes back to hosts, goes back to restaurants. You know, the ticket price, by the time it's discounted, you know, we leave ourselves like $3 or $4 to cover the internal costs. And down the, well, right now in the beginning, we won't be making any money, but down the road, we hope to be making about $4 a ticket on top of our costs, as a sort of average. Now the market will tell us whether they allow us that, where, you know, it's capitalism. Like, we believe in, that everything adjusts accordingly. The best service providers with the best honesty align the incentives. Theoretically, that should allow us to grow. Like, I'm just here to be 100% open and honest about this. I've got nothing to hide.
Exactly. No. Yeah, that's right. And having said that, I appreciate your feedback on that answer. I want to ask this question, and you may have already answered it, but just in case you didn't. What happens after a person signs up for Gather Social app? What are the rules on the profile and the photos? You did kind of touch base a little bit, but if you want to further elaborate, go ahead.
Sure. Well, in the beginning, we're very liberal about people signing up, but one of the reasons we want your real name and your real birth date is that's when you get to that restaurant, if you put in that your birth date was like 5 years different than it is, now you're going to be the odd one out. You're going to be identified, and you can't go back and change that. So, you know, put your proper birth. Nobody cares whether you want to change it by a different month because you're paranoid. You think that there's some sort of thing. Like, I know I used to do that. I don't care anymore because I realize now data is out everywhere. It doesn't really matter. But some people want to change their birth from February to March or whatever. It doesn't matter. And you can put a different real name, theoretically. You could call your – but if you're going to go in there calling yourself Jeep123, once you show up at the restaurant, that's what's going to show up on your app. It's going to be, hey, Jeep123.
So, right.
Put your real name. If your name is Bob, just call yourself Bob. Like,
yeah, of course, yeah. I mean, people have, like, monikers and aliases such as myself, Adrian X Myatt or AD, but it's nothing like, oh, like something so crazy that, you know, that is outlandish that, oh, it's going to make, like, when I come in person, it's going to look awkward. Like, I'm looking around like this, you know what I mean? So, this is my spiritual name, so I go by Adrian X Myatt, but however... You know, I get what you're saying, your point of view. You don't want to go in, like, with that awkward feeling.
You asked about the photos. So in the beginning, we're going to be a bit more lax about that. Mm-hmm. But the idea is honest, true disclosure. So we're not looking for people. You know, a lot of people sort of hide behind things. They hide behind, you know, a bunch of pets, or, you know, they make themselves a tiny little dot in the distance. You know, the idea here is, hey, we're all adults. You're going to see these people in real life. Like, what? Just try to have one decent face shot and one decent complete full shot that includes yourself without without, you know, 9 layers of puffy coats on, or, you know, all that kind of weird camouflage. Just so down the road, we would probably push a little harder against that. Right now, it's, you know, we need users on the system. We will take down anything with, like, any kind of weirdness like that. So pick those accounts will be deleted. And it'd be difficult then if you want to come back on because your phone number is associated to your account. So if you delete your account, you come back on, your phone number's in the system, unless you get a new phone, a new phone number or whatever. Like, you know, that would be the only way you could sort of cheat our system and put a false profile up, get booted off, and then get back on again. You know, don't do that. Just don't do it. There's no need.
Right.
Just put up a couple pictures and, hey, you are who you are. You know, we are who we are.
Yeah. So we running short on time. I was going to ask you this last question. You pretty much already touched base on it. I was going to ask you, when is Guys on Social coming to other major cities in North America and overseas? And you already pretty much touched base. But I do want to
as quick as we can.
Yeah, I do want to end it on this last African proverb that I usually start with or hint with at the beginning. And I just want to ask you what it means after I read it, what it means to you. So there's an African proverb that states, it is not one's deeds that it is one's deeds that is accounted for, not one's years. What does that mean to you, Andy? What does that African proverb mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like, you can say all you want, it doesn't matter how old you are, you can beak off as much as you want, but hey, what you do in this world is what's real.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. I appreciate you. And it was a pleasure having you on. I definitely appreciate this, honored and everything. And we appreciate everybody that came through and in the chat that supported and all that good stuff. There is another guy in the chat that asked the question, but you had already answered it. He could probably go back in the video and see how you compare it to other apps, because he wanted to know, how do you compare it to the Meetup app? And you've already touched
base. Well, Meetup is a very random, you know, it's an old school technology, same as speed dating. We're like, if you took speed dating and Meetup and said that they're 25 years old and they didn't really change the things that they're doing.
Yeah.
And you applied modern technology and a lot of computing power and brought it into today. That's what we are. Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. It was a pleasure again. Everybody that showed up and showed love, we appreciate y'all. Make sure y'all hit the like, share, subscribe button. And make sure you, when you do download the app, if you're in the Las Vegas region, use the BOF439. That is my special code as a brand ambassador. And the rest is history. We hope
excellent.
That...
Thanks so much, everybody out there in Adrian Podcast Land. That's been a great experience for me.